Once again, I have the pleasure of speaking with Bobby King at R&R King Logging. And Bobby, the reason I brought you in is because my wife and I were in Costco a couple weeks ago, and we were talking to Don. Don works for you, and he's sort of transitioned into a new thing. And he was talking about the use of drones and how you guys are now using drones as part of logging. So I started thinking about, gee, where has the logging industry come since the beginning? Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing pictures and old videos of two guys with the saw with, you know, cutting these huge trees down and taking them down one by one, hand cutting. Mm-hmm. And I guess that was probably, well, I mean, axes too, I guess were probably first used in that.
Yeah.
So give me a little history of logging, not specifically in the Northwest, but I mean, the Northwest is where you're most familiar with.
Well,
so.
First of all, the Pacific Northwest grows trees better than any place in the world. And because of that, we grow brush and competitive things, vegetation that competes with new trees that you plant. So
everything grows well here.
So, yeah, everything grows well. So the Pacific Northwest grows trees just like nobody's business. And so I've been in the business really. I've gone to the woods with my dad since I could walk. And so that was 75 years ago. And so as time changed, as technology changed, logging changed. And you go back to the day when you talk about how did we do it at the beginning? We did it with the old axe. We'd cut trees down with an old axe, and there'd be a guy on each side. They'd rig up a springboard, because the trees were so big you couldn't reach where you needed to cut them on the ground because they spread out. Mm-hmm. So you need to go up a little way. So they put these springboards in, stand on these springboards, and swing those axes from both sides. Take turns, whap, whap. And they'd fall these big monsters, and then they'd get them on the ground, and then they would try to cut them in two by bucking or by with an axe to make links out of them. Then they'd hook an old ox or horses on them, drag them to where they needed to go. They lay cross beams sideways in the skid trails so the logs could slide across.
Sort of roll down.
Yeah, so it kind of rolled down the wooden planks.
And they trimmed all the limbs too, right? Is that something they did on spot there?
Well, see, most of the time, the limbs didn't start until you were three quarters of the way up the tree.
Oh, that's true, because you had all the cover there.
Exactly. So, yeah. And they were old growth. You know, they didn't mess with this 20-inch stuff or 25-inch stuff. All they cut were the big, nice trees where they could get a lot of lumber out of. Mm-hmm. So we've progressed from the horses and the oxen to get the logs down to where you could put them on a truck. And then that time to get them on a truck, they would build a hole when you backed a truck in, and then you'd take oxen on the other side of that hole. The truck could be backed. This is when we had vehicles. Mm-hmm. Before that, we'd slew them down a side canyon and let them bunch up in the river. And then when high water came in the wintertime, they'd float them down to the mills in the river. Yeah. That was before, you know, we had trucks and build roads.
Right.
So as we progressed and we went from chopping these trees down with axes, we went to the cross saws and the hand bucking, the hand saws. The guy would be on each side of the tree on the same springboards, and they'd be sawing. And, of course, to fall a tree, you got to cut a face out to directionally fall that tree in the right direction. Which brings me to a story in Alaska, and I'll tell you about that a little bit later.
Right.
But anyway, so as things progressed and developed instead of the hand saws and the crossbuck saws, we developed power saws, chainsaws. And man, what a difference that made.
So I imagine.
Guys could run those power saws and fall the trees. And along with that, they developed the dozer. The Caterpillar was the first. Developed a dozer with a winch on the back that could winch those logs up to the back of the dozer and then drag them to where you need to go. Instead of the horses and oxen, you use a machine. Part of that, and this is kind of like the old boys are pretty darn smart in those days. What was happening when you drag those logs, they would dig into the ground behind the dozer. So they developed an arch. And sometimes the arch were on tracks. Sometimes they were just rubber tired. What they were was an axle with a piece of metal in the middle and going up to about 10 feet high, and they had a pulley on it. And the arch and the line from your dozer would go up through that arch and down onto the ground. They'd suck those logs up to the top of that arch. That'd get that log off the ground. So when you're pulling it, you don't create great big ruts. You actually just drug the back in.
Oh, cool.
And so you didn't have that problem of digging in, which also You know, those were the days. In fact, logging today consists of two mainly different kinds of logging. Ground skid, where you still use a skidder or a dozer unit. And most of the dozer units now have a little arch on the back so you can suck the log up and get it off the ground. Not only does it protect the ground, but it ups production because it's a lot faster to get that log up off the ground. But because of that, the two types of logging that we do it now and starting back in the early 60s is cable logging, which is more of a long span logging. You could go across the canyon and steep hillsides where you aren't able to get a dozer down, or today's log shovels are mobile enough where they crawl and they'll tail logs over three or four times to the road where you can load them out. But so today, and back then in the 60s, we had two kinds of logging still then, but we started developing more cable logging, and they would use wooden spar trees. Now, if you were to go back and if you could find some movies and videos on how they erected some of a wooden tower, tree would not always be in the right place. But when it was, they'd go up and they'd have a guy with spurs and rope and go up and they'd climb up that tree 100 feet up to 120 feet, 150 feet in the air, cut the top out of that tree. And then some of the videos you see, that tree, when they cut that top out, the guy just stands up there and he sways back and
right.
forward.
I've seen those.
Some of the times, the way that they would top those trees, they'd stick some dynamite around the edge.
What?
They'd go back down on the ground with a 30-30 or some kind of a rifle, and they'd shoot that dynamite and blow the top out.
Now that...
True story. That's the way
cool.
they used, some of the guys used to top the trees.
Back when they were using axes and saws, did they have like a dedicated person that would do sharpening? Like, would each man sharpen his own axe?
No, each man would sharpen his own axe.
So they had to stop. They would have to stop and sharpen.
But their axes stayed pretty sharp. They wouldn't. What they would do, there were a lot of moss, and of course they were up high enough there wasn't a lot of dirt to dull them. But they would scrape all that moss and stuff off so they had a clear shot at the wood. And their axes stayed pretty sharp. And they, of course, at night, they'd take a big old file and they'd file their axes down. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they kept. But in today's times, we have specialties in the sawmills, especially when they have saws in the sawmill, they have saw filers. They're a specialty. Those guys are hard to come by. They're old school, but they had certain people that knew how to file those saws in the mills. Because the mills, when you run a log through the mill, you got these band saws. Of course, today it's different than it used to be, but they had these band saws that just runs constantly, and they just saw lumber off that log. But anyway, back to the logging, and interject any time. I go back in 1958. Let me go back to, you have cable logging and ground skid logging. In the cable logging days to begin with, like I said, they had wooden spar trees. And those spar trees were not always in the right place. So they would find the right tree, right size, right height. Then they would move that tree, pull that tree to a location, build a mat out of other trees, and they would raise that tower by pulling on it, kind of like they do when they do the side of a building. They'll build one side and then raise it up. Mm-hmm. And they'll raise that spar tree. Of course, that spar tree had to have all these guy lines hanging on it to hold that tree in the air. And there'd be these high climbers that go up there with belt and spurs, climb up there, and then he'd have little blocks, and he'd have a line going down to the ground, and the guys would hook all the rigging on, and they'd pull that rigging up to the guy, and he'd take it around the tree, tie it off, and then that was one guy line. And he'd do that 7-8 times around that tree. They have guy lines to hold it in the air. Because just think how unstable that thing would be. I mean, this was amazing what they did. And that thing, then they'd hang big blocks. And I mean 24, 30-inch blocks. They called them bull blocks. And they'd hang those blocks in those trees. And then they'd have a yarder, what we call a donkey, which had the drum set. And these drum sets normally were two drum sets. One was a great big skyline, which is the one that did all the power, pulled the logs in. Mm-hmm. And the other one was called a haulback, which is it could be down to an inch. Today, we don't use anything that size because of our deflection. But they would have inch and a half skyline, mainline, and up to an inch haulback. And the reason they call it the haulback is because in those days, and that was a steam engine, a steam donkey in the early, they called the yarders donkeys. Mm-hmm. They would have steam engines run those drums. And so they'd run a drum up to that big pulley in the top of the tree, out to the woods, and they'd have another pulley out there. And then they'd have the other drum going through another block above the skyline block, the main line block, and it'd go out to another pulley, and they'd connect them. On the back end, the hallback would go through one pulley, through another pulley, and then hook up to the back of the sky, to the main line. And that would work like, you know, I always picture a clothesline in New York where you see them hanging their clothes in, out between the buildings, and they'd pull their line in, put the clothes on it, then they'd do the other line and pull it back out.
So it's like a zip line for trees, sort of.
Somehow they had to pull that line back in. Yeah. So anyway, that's how this, they called high lead logging. And this high lead logging was on this wooden tree would let you go down the steep hillsides to where you couldn't get a dozer or some other way to yard it. So they'd run these cables down there and then they'd hook onto them and pull them as they pulled it back with a haulback, hook the logs on. Then they pull it in and let the haulback slide, stayed hooked just like a clothesline. Mm-hmm. And so that allowed them to do the hillsides, the steep hillsides where you couldn't necessarily get a dozer with tracks. Mm-hmm. No machine would be able to be stabilized on a steep hill ground. So they went from the wooden trees and the steam donkey. From the steam donkey, they went to the diesel-operated engines, and they had things called frictions where you'd set your drum. And then that, when you set your friction in that drum, that allow it to take, and so you could pull your log in. Then they'd kick that friction out. I'm probably getting it too detailed. Pull the haulback friction in, and we'd suck it back in after it goes back like a clothesline. So after the wooden trees and the and then the diesel engines came into being, in 1958-59, when I really first started working with, by the way, I'm a third generation logger, mm-hmm. so my grandfather used to log with horses, so that, wow, that we do know about that. Okay. So anyway, in 1958, my first job in the woods was a whistle punk. And there's a lot of terminology.
I was gonna say, so what exactly is that?
Okay, a whistle punk. Now, on these steep hillsides, you had men down in the brush over the edge setting chokers, or which what goes around the log. Mm-hmm. It's a cable, it goes around a log and has a metal bell, and the bell is hooked to with a nubbin, and it's like a noose on a hanging man,
right.
a lasso. And you'd hook that log up onto a choker, and then that choker was hooked to what we call butt rigging, which was just a bunch of swivels, big heavy metal swivels, weighed 500 pounds. Mm. And so that guy over the edge had no way to tell that guy running the machine way up there, 1,000 to 1,500 feet up on the flat, had no way of knowing when the choker was set and when to go ahead on it. So we had to have a guy blowing a little hand, wooden hand squeeze thing. You squeezed and had two metal points. And when those metal points clicked, it blew a whistle up on the yarder. We called it the yarder up on the machine where the operator ran the drums.
And then he knew to turn the engine on, or he knew to pull it up.
He knew when to pull it, mm-hmm. let it down, raise it up. So a whistle punk was a guy that would have this giant loop of electric cable, electric wire, like an extension cord, mm-hmm. a little heavier. He would have this looped around his neck, and he would, and that was connected to the whistle at the machine on top, the yarder, and he would unloop that as he walked down into the hillside so he could be close to the men down there that were actually doing the physical work of setting the chokers on the logs.
Right, so he could see everything plainly.
So he could see everything, but the main thing that he had to do was listen, because those guys, they're called a rigging slinger, he's the guy that did the hollering and pointed out what logs for each choker setter to get. He would holler signals, and there's a code, and there's signals that they use today. And he'd holler out, whoop, 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 which means go ahead, pick it up and go ahead on your line, or whoop, whoop. That's how he'd holler, only really loud. I used to do it really loud. Whoop, whoop, you know, type thing. And then they'd pull it back a little bit because the chokers always had to line up where the logs were, the butt rigging. So when he would holler, this whistle punk would have to get that signal and then squeeze that little wooden bug and tell that yard engineer when to go ahead on it. So, and it was so critical because if he pulled on it ahead before the guys were out in the clear, I mean, you'd pull a log over the top of the guy.
Yeah.
So it was critical. And so in 1958, I was between my eighth grade and freshman year in high school, I was in the woods. We had bought the first metal tower.
And that's replacing the wooden, the trees.
Replacing
right?
the wooden tower so and a cable machine where you could reach down on the steep hillside. We were so proud of that metal tower. It's square, 100 feet tall. It's called a burger. It was on a sled, so we pulled that sled around. And when we'd move it, we'd lay it down horizontally. So it had a stand on each end, and lay it down, it'd lay into a stand, and we'd grab the dozer, we call them cats, and suck it to the next place to set it back up again, held up by guy lines.
Right.
But there was no way for them to know when to go ahead on those whistles, so there's this whistle punk, me, down there, and I was so bored because I was so rambunctious, and I always tried to talk the choker setters into trading with me when I wasn't old enough to set chokers, but... I mean, that's what I wanted to do is set choker, something physical. But I would be down that edge, and I'd unstring that cable down the hillside as far as I could go. Sometimes I took two sections, 400 feet of cable, and string it down the hill to where I could be close. And I'd be so bored, I'd climb up a tree where I could really hear well and see everything going on. So I would be the whistle punk, and it'd blow the whistles. Well, from nowadays, that cord whistle system with the cord and the extension cord running down the hill, we replace that with cordless, wireless talkie tooters, they're called. And a talkie tooter is just it's a red bug, and it's when you raise it up, then it's activated to where the guy, the rigging slinger that used to do the hollering, now he uses that bug himself and squeezes it for signals on the yard. Hmm. So those things have not changed.
So you're still doing the same. It's just a little newer electronics.
Yeah, we've gotten rid of the whistle punk.
Yeah.
New electronics. And now we have the metal tower that's mobile. We can pull it down the road, set and stand it back up in the air and guideline it off and keep logging. So it is up to production.
Well, tell you what, let's take a quick little break here. We'll pay some commercial. We'll pay some bills here. And then we'll come back and we'll talk about how things are in the present.
Got a lot of progression.
All right. More with Bobby King of R&R King Logging after the news at the top of the hour.